Prince Rupert has been dealing with an aging infrastructure issue for years, and this week's drop in temperatures only agitated the situation even further. Over the weekend, 100-year-old water mains have cracked and broken in Prince Rupert, and the city is now in a state of local emergency. For an update on the situation, here is the mayor of Prince Rupert, Herb Pond.
I'm Herb Pond, and I have the pleasure of serving once again as Prince Rupert's mayor.
Great, Mr. Mayor. Thanks so much for being with us again. Some have heard the news by now that there were some major water main breaks over the last few days due to the cold weather snap that we're seeing here in the northwest of BC, but particularly in Prince Rupert, which has had longstanding infrastructure needs. And this kind of just brings more attention to the situation. So maybe you could just break down for us what exactly happened and when were you first notified that water mains had broken in your community?
Through the course of last week, received a number of updates as different breaks occurred. And it became really obvious by last Friday or Saturday that we needed to take some action, at least to be ready for the worst of the worst possibilities, right? Just to be ready. And so it was on Saturday that council declared a state of emergency. By that time, I think there'd been 6 water main breaks. And since that time, so that was Saturday, in the ensuing basically 48 hours, we've had 3 more breaks and have hit a point where our crews can't keep up. We've enlisted the services of 2 separate local contractors and assigned each of them to one of those breaks because as you can appreciate, like everybody in the region gets this, I think, you know, we're all in small communities. We all have a staff that do a number of different things. These men and women that are responding to these breaks in the middle of the night, on overtime, in cold weather, in terrible conditions, are also the people we expect to be on our sand trucks and our, you know, plows and doing other things, right? And so we just realized that we were so close to being completely overwhelmed, we needed to declare that state of emergency. One of the pipes that just broke yesterday, I believe, is 106 years old. You know, I mean, we love the fact that we are one of the early cities created on the Northern BC. We were incorporated in 1910. We like that, but it also means we got old pipes.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like this has been obviously a perennial issue over the years, but you know, as we're seeing, you know, these cold snaps, there was one very similar last year that lasted for about a week. I know here in Smithers, as well as in other communities, Terrace, you know, we've all hit minus 25, minus 30. Prince George is experiencing something very similar. So this is clearly something that is going to continue to come up. And, you know, having 100-plus-year-old pipes is not necessarily the best deterrent for situations like this. So I guess, you know, I got a couple of questions for you on that front. But first, you know, where do you go from here now that these have broken? You know, what is going into repairing these? And then I know it's kind of been on the books for a while, but replacing these pipes over time. So where are we at with that situation?
Yeah, well, first of all, let me just say for context, I appreciate that in the region people that listen to this broadcast, when we're talking about, you know, temperatures of minus 12 and 13, they're going, oh, yawn, right? Yeah, we get much colder than that every day. But we're just not built for it. We're a coastal community. That's really cold to us. And then the other thing I know is every community has infrastructure needs. I get that, right? But ours are particularly challenging for a couple of reasons. One is if you're in Smithers or Terrace or almost anywhere else on the planet, you have sands and gravels naturally occurring. When you go to lay your pipes, you can create a really nice bed in which to lay them and they don't wander. We have rock and muskeg. And in 1910, they were busy just getting the pipes in the ground. And so what we have is a situation where our pipes move, the muskeg moves, the soil conditions are, and it gets exacerbated by this freeze thaw. Right. And so we know we can't run around patching forever. That pipe that broke at 106 years was 105 years old last year. It needed to be replaced a long time ago. And so we have to get ahead of this. It's a massive bill. I mean, at the end of the day, this just simply comes down to money. Our little community, like many Northwest communities, still suffers a hangover from the collapse of industry back in the late 1990s, where our community lost $50 million in today's dollars, roughly. We still have the province asking us to pay them for taxes, school taxes, we could not collect from the pulp mill in like 20 years ago, right? Like, so we're suffering a hangover still from that era. And yet we're trying to support this major world port. Vancouver is Canada's largest port. It has a population of 2.6 million people. Montreal is the next biggest port in Canada. It's got 4.3 million people. The next largest port in Canada is Prince Rupert. It's got 12,000 people. We're having a hard time keeping up, right? And so we need help. I think that federal and provincial authorities are beginning to realize that getting us caught up matters to everybody. And so I'll be making a lot of trips and making a lot of calls as we enter into the new year to kind of try to make good on some of that.
Yeah, no doubt. Herb, a couple of things. We talked about the last time around when you're still in campaign modes about some of these issues, the infrastructure, the yep. hundreds of millions of dollars that are going to be needed to yep. fill this gap, to repair a lot of what you're talking about, these pipes that continue to move, 100-year-old plus pipes. That infrastructure is not easy to move around, to replace. It's big jobs, lots of money. But right now, at this point, there's some people who are without water, who are wondering, how long this is going to take to repair. And then also, what can be done to, I guess, insulate, pardon the pun, some of this infrastructure, some of these pipes, so that this doesn't happen again. We still have a couple months left of winter. You said, it doesn't take much in Prince Rupert for these pipes to break. It's only, minus 12, minus 13. Yeah. But again, it does have a big impact. So what is happening on the ground right now with your crews? What is your staff doing? And what are you hearing from constituents about their needs, families, young children? What are you hearing from them at their needs, especially at this time with the cold snap?
Yeah, so we're fortunate in that, and God bless our work crews. These men and women are just amazing, and they are always focused when these things are happening on looking after residents, right? How do we keep water flowing to residents? And they'll reroute water in amazing ways to make that happen. So, to my knowledge, every residential address in Rupert still has water. There are a few businesses in one particular street where right now we're working on the pipe and we had to shut off the water to that area, but they're working hard to get that back quickly. And we hope it stays like that, that we can stay ahead enough that nobody loses water. But we are telling people, just like you should do everywhere, doesn't matter whether you're in Prince Rupert under a state of emergency or whether you're in Smithers or Terrace or wherever you are, part of good emergency planning is to have some drinking water on hand, right? And the recommended amount is about 4 liters per person. So a milk jug, and literally all you need to do while we've got water running and it's good water, is go fill a milk jug filled with water and set that aside somewhere so that if something were to happen, then you can at least get by for a few days without making the problem even worse. So, mm-hmm. So that's, one of the things we do. As far as the, what we can do for the pipes in the short term, honestly, We just have to be ready to respond. There's no magic solution. There's no amount of bubble gum put on these pipes. There's no secret ingredient that you can put in the water that will, you know, like some sort of late night commercial that will just fill this these gaps. We will be in a responsive state for a long time. We will be in a heightened responsive state every time the temperature plummets like this.
Yeah. Just the last thing for you, Mr. Mayor, and you kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier, making the calls in the new year to provincial, you know, counterparts to try to find some solutions to this. And we did talk about it a couple of months ago, but you know, there is a lot of money that comes out of this region. There's a lot of money that comes in and comes out of your community in particular. Like you said, you have a deep water world port. There's an expansion that is being talked about right now and conceptualized. There's also a tax cap on some of those, you know, operators. All this kind of money, all these tax dollars that could be coming into the community to go to things like this, to repair these pipes, to replace these old aging pipes and infrastructure is there. However, it's just a little bit of a challenge getting over the finish line to get some of that money. So what's your kind of take and plan moving forward with that, knowing that this is going to continue to happen? We've seen this in the last few years. Clearly, climate change has a bit of the ebb and flow with these weather snaps, very extreme one end to the next. You know, it's going to be +4 possibly next week. So where are we at with that? What's your kind of plan of attack to ensure that some of those monies start to come back to these communities?
Yeah. So there's a whole bunch of answers in that, and you frame it extremely well. First of all, I've got to give real kudos to our MLA, Jen Rice. She's been amazing. And we worked very closely also with when he was Minister of Municipal Affairs, Minister Nathan Cullen. And we're thankful for those relationships and they're alive to our issues, as is the MP. And Taylor's all over it as well. And so we feel like we've got good support from our local politicians on those things. And they are doing a great job of singing our song in other arenas. And we'll be going out to make some visits and asks in the new year. But you're so right. I mean, one of the things that this whole region needs is the RBA, right? The Resource Benefit Alliance that would recognize that there are hundreds of millions of dollars that are generated up here in this part of the world, in Smithers, in Terrace, and all the little communities and all up and down through income tax and other activities that flow to the province and to the federal government, that we need to get a piece of that back. Funding these rural municipalities off of property tax is a model that's 100+ years old. It's older than our pipes. and the world has changed. You know, our storekeepers are less and less in our communities. They're more and more in Vancouver or in other places, right? And so the whole model of how we fund communities needs to change. We're asking for something in particular for Rupert because of the unique situation we have. That cap, I mean, I just did the math on in 2022 dollars. I had a look. Prior to the cap coming in, we had two taxable terminals, and that was the grain and the coal. They paid about $5 million in today's dollars. After all this incredible growth, all these jobs, all the activity that we have now under the cap, including the government top up, we're making about $5 million. So back in 2003, we were going bankrupt with $5 million. We're sitting here collecting from those kinds of properties, the capped properties, exactly the same amount of money. And so, yeah, we need some help. That's all. And I think people are beginning to see it.
That was Prince Rupert Mayor Herb Pond. You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.